Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We can do a cell phone check. All the cell phones can be silent. We've been reading for the last 2 days about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great scholar, like a professor of Mayavad philosophy, dry logic and Mayavad philosophy. And he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. He saw that the Lord was a young sannyasi, very beautiful. So he undertook to instruct the Lord in the conclusions of Vedanta philosophy so that the Lord would be very well situated in Gyan and transcendental knowledge and would be able to withstand the forces of material attraction. So he, for 7 days, spoke about Vedanta philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya simply sat and listened. After 7 days, Bhattacharya said, you're sitting listening, but I don't know if you're understanding anything because you don't ask any questions, you don't say anything. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I have nothing to ask. I understand the Vedanta Sutra verses very well, but I can't understand your explanation, because your explanation is simply like clouds covering the clear meaning of the verses. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya the direct meaning of Vedanta Sutra, defeating the impersonal conception by presenting the personality of Godhead. And the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried to defend his own point of view, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out hundreds of faults in the impersonal philosophy. That brings us up to where we are now. Vitanda chal nigrahadi aneka uttaila shab kandi prabhu nijamata se sthapila. The Bhattacharya presented various types of false arguments with pseudo-logic and tried to defeat his opponent, Lord Chaitanya, in many ways. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refuted all these arguments and established his own conviction. Bhagavan Shambhanda Bhakti Abhiteya Hoy Prema Prayojan Vede Tin Bhashtu Koi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of all relationships. Acting in devotional service to Him is one's real occupation, and the attainment of love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. These three subject matters are described in the Vedic literature. Arye ye kichu kahe shakal ikopana swata pramana veda bhakti kopena lakana. If one tries to explain the Vedic literature in a different way, he is indulging in imagination. Any interpretation of the self-evident Vedic version is simply imaginary. So Lord Chaitanya presents But these are the actual subject matters of the Vedic literature. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayoja. Sambandha means connection. To reestablish our connection, our lost relationship with Krishna. This is called Sambandha. At the present moment, I'm thinking, this is my country, this is my family, this is my money, this is my this is my that. I'm thinking of myself in relationship to this material world. And I'm forgetting my relationship, my internal relationship with Krishna. So Sambandha means reviving that lost relationship. Then Abhideya means acting in that relationship. It's fine, I have a relationship. Now, unless I act in that relationship, what is the meaning of it? Suppose Prabhupada gave the example, if you find out that one of your uncles or someone is a big man in the government, so you don't have a relationship. But now you have to act in that relationship. Maybe take some work under him, or in some way revive the connection. Act in that relationship. Or suppose I'm American. So just being American is nothing. I have to act like an American. I have to vote. I have to do something for my country. Then I can say I'm American if I want to say that. So I have to act in the relationship. That's Abhideya. And Prayoja means actual love. We may act in that relationship, but the perfection of the relationship is experienced when there's actually love. And that's the ultimate goal of the Vedic knowledge, prema pumartha maha, to revive our love for Krishna. First stage is a relationship. I don't even know that I have a relationship with Krishna. And the next thing is to act in that relationship. And then finally, to attain love for Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the subject of the Vedas. This is what the Vedas are all about. Anything else is just imagination. Anything else includes, of course, the explanations given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, drawing upon the impersonal philosophy of Shankara. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, kalpana, this is simply imaginary. This is the real subject, sambandha, abhideya, priyoja. Clear? Acharya doshnahi, ishar agya hoilam, ateva kalpana kori nastik shastra koyam. Actually, there's no fault on the part of Shankaracharya. He simply carried out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had to imagine some kind of interpretation, and therefore he presented a kind of Vedic literature that's full of atheism. Sarvabhauma Shankaracharya is one of the great philosophers of India, and he's the main exponent of the impersonalist point of view. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great adherent of that Advaita Vedanta philosophy, as it's called, of Shankara, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has defeated as being simply imaginary, simply concoction. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but it's not Shankaracharya's fault. He was ordered to come up with this concocted philosophy, which is really a kind of atheism. Why is it atheism? Because it tries to get rid of the personality of Godhead. It tries to say that the personality of Godhead has no form, no qualities, no individuality. And then what are you left with? Essentially, it's an indirect way of getting rid of God by saying he has no form, no qualities, no this, no that. By saying that we're identical with God in all respects. So that's really an atheistic philosophy. derived from the theistic literature, and by standing the theistic conclusion on its head. So this is concoction. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that it's not Shankaracharya's fault, and now he's going to give evidence of that. Svagamai kalpitaistvam cha janan mad vivakan kuru mam jago payayena syat shrishtire shottarottara. Addressing Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, please make the general populace averse to me by imagining your own interpretation of the Vedas. Also, cover me in such a way that people will take more interest in advancing a material civilization just to propagate a population bereft of spiritual knowledge. This is a quotation from the Padma Purana. It appears that Krishna himself wanted to push this imaginary philosophy because he wanted to move forward the agenda of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of degradation, the age of darkness. Just as we have summer and we have winter. In winter, there's no flowers die and the leaves fall off the trees, at least in North America. I don't know what happens here. So, Kali Yuga is something like the winter, when spiritual knowledge goes into hibernation. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna wanted to push forward Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga has to happen. So he appointed Lord Shiva, you push it. How? You make people averse to me by concocting your own interpretation of the Vedas, so that people will become more interested in material life than spiritual advancement. But the personal philosophy is a very spiritual philosophy. How does that push material advancement? Because in the impersonal philosophy, actually there's nothing. The impersonal philosophy says that everything's an illusion, nothing is real except the impersonal, undivided, unknowable, unperceivable truth. And that inconceivable, unknowable truth, practically no one can realize. Everything is one. But no one can act as if everything is one. We act as if everything's different. We put our shoes on our feet, not on our hands. We eat food and not bricks. We distinguish between one thing and another. We walk through the door and not through the wall. Because we don't, this idea that everything is one is not practical. The idea is that we're one with God. We assume those are material distinctions, but the idea is spiritual oneness, that we're one with God. So I imagine that I'm God. But Prabhupada said when the so-called God gets a toothache, then he goes to the dentist God. So it's an impractical philosophy, a philosophy. I was talking to a student the other day, he said, I'm trying to, in my meditation, withdraw from everything and see that everything is illusion and just pull back from that. But I keep, then as soon as I think I'm getting there, boom, I pop back. So what am I doing wrong? What are you doing wrong? The whole meditation is wrong. It's not practical to somehow or other shut out the world imagining that it's an illusion. It's not illusion, it's there, but it's just not what we think it is. It's not permanent, but it's not false. It's not that it doesn't exist. It exists. So in this way, the philosophy is so full of holes that no one can really live by it, nor is there anything really to be attracted to. Oneness, oneness, oneness becomes monotonous, monotonous, monotonous. then what else is there? Well, there's material life. Material life is not monotonous. There are all kinds of varieties. And one therefore imagines, I can enjoy this, I can enjoy that. Those varieties of enjoyment are not actually enjoyable. They finally end up in suffering and frustration. That's the way the material world works. But next to the unmitigated monotony of what Shankara presents as the spiritual alternative, material life seems more attractive. So indirectly, Shankaracharya, while teaching an exalted spiritual path, is actually pushing forward the agenda of material entanglement that is the hallmark of Kali Yuga. Mayavadam asach chastram prachandam bodhamuchyate mayaiva vihitam devi kalo brahmana murtina. Lord Shiva informed Goddess Durga, the superintendent of the material world, in the age of Kali, I take the form of a Brahmin and explain the Vedas through false scriptures in an atheistic way, similar to Buddhist philosophy. Now, this is also from the Dharma Purana. That Brahmin is Shankaracharya, who explains the Vedas in an impersonal way, which really is not very different from the philosophical doctrines of Buddhist philosophy. Lord Buddha says everything is empty, everything is void, nirvana. We extinguish our false ego, and then existence essentially is snuffed out or is realized to be non-existent. It's elaborated in so many ways, but the idea is that everything is shunya, everything is ultimately void. Shankaracharya says, no, everything is not void, because the Vedas teach that there's a supreme reality, Brahma. But then what is that Brahma? It has no form, it has no qualities, it has no name, it has no activities, it has no this, it has no that. And what is it? Practically, it's empty. It might as well be void for all practical purposes. So therefore, the prachandam bodhamuchyate is practically covered as Buddhism in disguise. It's another brand of the same philosophy. But it's presented through the Vedic literature, and therefore Lord Chaitanya said it's more dangerous than the Buddhist philosophy. Someone comes as an enemy, you know he's an enemy. But someone comes as a friend and he's got a knife behind his back, he's more dangerous. Shuni patacharjo hai lo parama bismita mukhe na nishare gani hai lo stampita. Sarvabhauma patacharjo became very much astonished upon hearing this. He became stunned and said nothing. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told him, don't be astonished. Actually, devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest perfection of human activity. Bhagavani bhakti param purushatohai. Even the self-satisfied sages perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such are the transcendental qualities of the Lord. They are full of inconceivable spiritual potency. The impersonalists say that the Absolute Truth has no energies, because that would introduce duality. If there's an energy and source of energy, now you have duality. So they try to avoid all that by saying there's just one homogeneous transcendental reality in which there's no division, no form, no qualities, no distinction between one thing and another, or between one energy and another. Everything is just absolutely unmitigated oneness. But Lord Chaitanya says, no, on the spiritual platform, the personality of Godhead has inconceivable spiritual potencies, which attract even self-realized sages who are already situated in an impersonal view. Now he quotes a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmaramascha Muniyo Nirgranta Apyurukrame Kurvantyo Haitukim Paktim Ittam Bhuta Gunahori. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. This is an important verse in which we find that even self-realized persons, persons who've already realized the oneness of all things, become attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna. They're no longer attracted to material varieties, to anything material, but the spiritual qualities of Krishna attract them. Shuni Bhattacharya kohe shuna mahashoy e shlokeranta shunite panchohai. After hearing this verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear sir, please explain this verse. I have a great desire to hear your explanation of it." Prabhu kai, tumi ki artha koro taha age shuni, pache ami kariva artha yeva kichu jani. The Lord replied, "First let me hear your explanation. After that, I shall try to explain what little I know." Shuni Bhattacharya shloka koila vyakhyan tarka shastra mata uttai bibhita bidhan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then began to explain the Atmarama verse, and according to the principles of logic, he put forward various propositions. Nava bidha artha koila shastra mata la shuni prabhu kohe kichu ishat hasya. Bhattacharya explained the verse in 9 different ways on the basis of scripture. After hearing his explanation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smiling a little, began to speak. Bhattacharya, jani, tumi sakshat brihaspati, shastra vyakya korite aiche, karo nahi shakti. My dear Bhattacharya, you're just like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly kingdom. Brihaspati is a very learned sage. Indeed, no one within this world has the power to explain the scriptures in such a way. Kintu tumi artha koilo panditya pratibhai iha bhai shloke ache aro abhiprai. You've certainly explained this verse by the prowess of your vast learning. But you should know that besides this scholarly explanation, there's another purport to this verse. Bhattacharya Pratanate Prabhu Vyakya Kola Tar Nabha Arta Madhye Eka Na Chulido. Upon the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the verse without touching upon the 9 explanations given by the Bhattacharya. Atmaramastra shloke ekadasha padahoy prithak prithak koilo padar artha nishchoy. There are 11 words in the Atmarama verse, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained each word one after the other. Atmaramastra munyo nirgranta api rukrame Kurvanti haitakim paktim ittam puna bhuta guna and hari. So he found 11 words in the verse, and then he explained each word. That's elaborately described in the section where Lord Chaitanya is talking with Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya elaborately gave the meaning of each of these 11 words, very elaborately. this word can mean this or this or this, or like in a dictionary, it can mean this, it can mean this, it can mean this, it can mean this. Like be, it can mean, or like something. Net, it can mean the internet, it can mean a fishing net, it can mean the bottom line after you subtract your cost from the gross. It can mean so many different things. So each one of these words can mean so many different things. And Lord Chaitanya explained each of these 11 words. Tat tat para pratanye atparama milam ashtadasha artokoilo abhiprayala. He took each word specifically and combined it with the word atmarama. He thus explained the word atmarama in 18 different ways. So Lord Chaitanya essentially is finding dozens of meanings for the verse. You take atmarama in any one of 18 different ways, then you take these 11 words, which can all be understood in different ways, and you get dozens and dozens of meanings, all of them supporting the essential point, but all of them giving a little different light on it. This is the way of explaining Vedic literature. The meaning is kept intact, but it's supported by taking it in different lights. So, without touching any of the 9 different explanations given by the Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining this verse in dozens of ways. Bhagavan Tar Shakti Tar Gunagan Achincha Prabhav Tinerna Jai Katan. Lord Chaitanya said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His different potencies, and His transcendental qualities all have inconceivable prowess. It's not possible to explain them fully. These 3 attract the mind of a perfect student engaged in spiritual activities and overcome all other processes of spiritual activity. The personality of Godhead, His different potencies, and His transcendental qualities. These are all wonderful. Shanakadi Shukadev Tahate Praman E Mata Nana Artha Korena Vyakyan. The Lord explained the meaning of the verse by giving evidence concerning Shukadev Goswami and the 4 rishis Sanat Kumar, Sanatana, and Sanandana. Thus the Lord gave various meanings and explanations. Shukadev Goswami is the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he related to his disciple Vyas that he himself had been such an impersonalist sage. He himself had been fixed in the conception of oneness, but he himself had been attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. And the 4 sages, Sanakadi Rishi, beginning with Sanaka, were also great self-realized souls, highly elevated philosophers and saints, also fixed in the impersonal conclusion and completely indifferent to all material considerations. But they also became attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna. So this verse, Lord Chaitanya explained with reference to these histories. Shuni Bhattacharya Mani Hoilo Chalankar Prabhuke Krishna Jani Kore Apanantikar. On hearing these explanations, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. He then understood Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be Krishna in person, and thus he condemned himself in the following words. In the beginning, we read that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought that, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly a great devotee of Krishna, but he couldn't be Krishna himself. Gopinathacharya, Sarvabhauma's brother-in-law, was trying to persuade him, no, he's Krishna. And Sarvabhauma said, get off it, he's not Krishna, he's maybe a great devotee. And Gopinathacharya said, no, you'll see, actually he's Krishna. So now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is condemning himself. ihota sakshat krishna mui na janina maha aparad koinu garbita garbita haya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was certainly Lord Krishna himself, because I couldn't understand him. I was very proud of my own learning. I've committed many offenses. Atmaninda kori laila prabhur shonam kripa kori bare tave prabhur hailoma. When he denounced himself as an offender and took shelter of the Lord desired to show him mercy. Nija rupa prabhu tare korila koraila darsham chaturbhuj rupa prabhu haila takam. The Lord allowed him to see his Vishnu form with four hands. Krishna has two hands holding a flute, but he also has a majestic form in which he has four arms, and in his hands he holds different symbols. So Lord Chaitanya showed that form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Dekhaila tare age chatur puja rup bache sham bhangshi mukha swakiya surup. Then Lord Chaitanya showed him the original form of Krishna with dark complexion and flute to his lips. So this is quite a revelation to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sitting before him is this fair-colored sannyasi, but now he's assuming a four-armed form as Vishnu, and then the dark form of Krishna with his flute. Deki sarvabhauma dandavat karipari puna utti stuti kore dvi kalo yuti. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw the form of Lord Krishna manifested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell down flat to offer him obeisances. Then he stood up and with folded hands offered prayers. By the mercy of the Lord, all truths were revealed to Sarvabhauma, and he could understand the importance of chanting the holy name and distributing the love of Godhead everywhere. He composed 100 verses in a very short time. Even Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly planets, could not compose verses as quickly. After hearing these verses, Lord Chaitanya embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was overwhelmed in ecstatic love and fell unconscious. He shed tears, his body was stunned, he showed an ecstatic mood and perspired, shook and trembled. He sometimes danced, sometimes chanted, sometimes cried, sometimes fell down to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. While he was in this ecstasy, Gopinathacharya was very pleased, and the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all laughed to see Bhattacharya dance so. He'd been this dry stick of a magician, and now he's in transcendental ecstasy. Gopinathacharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Sir, you've brought all this upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "You are a devotee, because of your association, Lord Jagannath, Krishna, has shown him mercy." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not taking the credit. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified the Bhattacharya, and when Bhattacharya was quieted, he offered many prayers to the Lord. He said, "My dear sir, you have delivered the entire world. That's not a very great task. But you've also delivered me, and that is certainly the work of very wonderful powers. I'd become dull-headed due to reading too many books on logic. Consequently, I'd become like an iron bar. But you have melted me, and therefore your influence is very great." People read so many books and become great legends and philosophers, and the result is that they become proud like anything, and become actually so smart that they're stupid. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered such a person. After hearing the prayers offered by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya returned to his residence, and the Bhattacharya, through Gopinathacharya, induced the Lord to accept lunch there. Early the following morning, Lord Chaitanya went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple and saw the Lord rise from his bed. The priest there presented Lord Chaitanya with garlands and prasadam that had been offered to Lord Jagannath. This pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much. Carefully tying the prasadam, the transcendental food, and the garlands in a cloth, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hastened to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He arrived there a little before sunrise, just when the Bhattacharya was rising from bed. While getting up from bed, he distinctly chanted, "Krishna, Krishna." Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to hear him chant the holy name of Krishna. Then the Bhattacharya noticed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu outside, with great haste, went to him and offered prayers to his lotus feet, offered a carpet for the Lord to sit on, and both of them sat there. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the prasadam and placed it in the hands of the Bhattacharya. Still today at the Jagannath Temple in Puri, the prasadam of Lord Jagannath is available, the food offered to Lord Jagannath, and it's delivered in special packages. So Lord Chaitanya brought such a package and sat down and opened it up. At that time, the Bhattacharya had not even washed his mouth, nor taken his bath or finished his morning duties. But he was very pleased to receive the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the dullness in his mind was eradicated. After reciting the following two verses, he ate the prasadam offered to him. And the two verses are from the Padma Purana. One should eat the Mahaprasadam of the Lord immediately upon receiving it, even if it's dried up, stale, or brought from a distant country. One should consider neither the time nor the place. The prasadam of Lord Krishna is to be eaten by gentlemen as soon as received. There should be no hesitation, no regulative principles concerning time and place. This is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the rules for proper behavior for a Brahmin, for a person of a high culture, is that first you take your bath, you brush your teeth, you perform all your morning rituals. Then you can think about eating. It's not like modern life where you're lying in bed and drinking tea and so on. No, first you have to perform all these duties, then you can think about eating. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya hadn't even brushed his teeth, hadn't taken his bath, just got up from bed, and he doesn't care, he's just taking prasadam. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased to see this. He became ecstatic in love of Godhead and embraced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Lord and the servant embraced each other and began to dance. Simply by touching each other, they became ecstatic. As they danced and embraced, spiritual symptoms manifested in their bodies. They perspired, trembled, and shed tears, and the Lord began to speak in his ecstasy. These are ecstatic symptoms. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Today I have conquered the three worlds very easily. Today I have ascended to the spiritual world. I think that today all my desires have been fulfilled because I see that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has acquired faith in the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath." This is, Lord Chaitanya was pleased because the prasadam of Lord Jagannath is the transcendental mercy of the Lord. The Lord, the food is offered to the Lord accepts it, Krishna accepts it. And then the pure devotees accept this prasadam without considering anything. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya before would have quoted some verses about the proper time, the proper place, the proper rituals, and then he would have perhaps only then accepted the prasadam after properly doing everything. But now he just became eager, ho, Mahaprasadam has come, mercy of Krishna, at once, don't consider anything, just take it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, indeed, today you have undoubtedly taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, and Krishna, without reservation, has become very merciful to you. Today you've been released from material bondage and the bodily conception of life. You've cut to pieces the shackles of the illusory energy. Today your mind has become fit to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, because surpassing the Vedic regulative principles, you've eaten the remnants of food offered to the Lord. You haven't cared about the rituals, you just care that it was Krishna prasad. Yesham seesha bhagavanta yayed ananta sarvatmanashritapado yadi nirvyalikam te tustaram atitaranti cha deva mayam naisham mamahamititi swashrigala pakshe. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. When a person takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without reservation, the unlimited, merciful Lord bestows his causeless mercy upon him. Thus one can pass over the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Those whose intelligence is fixed in the bodily conception, who think, I am this body, are fit food for dogs and jackals. The Supreme Lord never bestows his mercy upon such people. And bodily conception means, I think I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm African, I'm white, I'm black, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this and that. One identifies with this body, which is really jackal food or dog food. These days, people go to the supermarket and buy dog food in little tins or packages. But actually, this body is also dog food. The unsophisticated dogs, the dogs who have not been raised on supermarket superfood, will eat any damn thing. And even if there's some body, just like sometimes some rabbit or some animal is, dies and is lying perhaps by the side of the road, the dog doesn't care that it's not packaged in little cubes and advertised on television. He's happy he's got himself some grub. And so he chows down. And the dog is equally happy if it doesn't care whether it's a rabbit body or a bird body or a human body. He'll chomp on it, whatever. So our body is really sort of... future dog food. Or where there aren't dogs, sometimes there are jackals, just like in Mayapur. Jackal is kind of resembles a dog in many ways, like a big dog, and it howls like a dog. Something maybe the size of a German shepherd. So the jackals also are sometimes probably more aggressive than the dogs and going for that nice non-purina. Purina is the big dog food manufacturer in America. So this is non-purina dog food. This body, dog and jackal food. So we're very fond of this body, imagining that it's ourselves, but it's dog food. And I'm identifying with this dog food as though it were myself. This is called foolishness. But one who gets the mercy of the Lord is freed from this illusory conception. after speaking to Sarvabhauma and Bhattacharya in this way, Lord Chaitanya returned to his residence, and from that day on, Bhattacharya was free because his false pride had been dismantled. From then on, he didn't know anything but the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from that day, he could explain the revealed scriptures only in accordance with the process of devotional service, not impersonal, non-devotional conclusions. Seeing this, Gopinathacharya, his brother-in-law, danced and clapped his hands and chanted, Hari, Hari. And the next day, the Bhattacharya went to visit Lord Jagannath, but before going to the temple, he went to see Lord Chaitanya, offered obeisances and prayers, and asked, which item is most important in the execution of devotional service? The Lord replied that the most important item was the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevala. Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Vitya Vita. Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse from Padma Purana, emphasizing that in the present age of Kali, there's no other suitable means of spiritual realization than the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya very elaborately explained this verse, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to hear the explanation. Gopinathacharya reminded him, my dear Bhattacharya, what I foretold you has now taken place. I told you that when Krishna would give you mercy, then you would accept Lord Chaitanya. And now it's happened. Offering obeisances to Gopinathacharya, the Bhattacharya said, because I'm related to you, and you are a devotee, by your mercy the Lord has shown mercy to me. You're a first-class devotee, whereas I'm in the darkness of logical arguments. Because of your relationship with the Lord has bestowed his benediction upon me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this humble statement. He embraced Bhattacharya and said, now go see Lord Jagannath in the temple. So he did that and then returned home with Jagadananda and Damodar and brought with him large quantities of excellent prasadam from Lord Jagannath, distributed that. And then he composed two verses, which he wrote on a palm leaf, that was the paper of the day. He gave the leaf to Jagadananda Prabhu and asked him to give it to Lord Chaitanya. So Jagadananda and Damodar went back to Lord Chaitanya and brought the prasad and the palm leaf on which the verses were composed. But another devotee, Mukundadat, took the leaf from Jagadananda before he could deliver it. And copied the two verses, on the wall outside the room. Then Jagadananda took the leaf and gave it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who read the verses and at once tore up the leaf. But it was too late. The verses were already there and all the devotees could read it on the wall. Now they're quoted. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam eka purusha purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Thari Kripambhutir Yas Tamaham Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Kalanashtam bhakti yogam nijamya pradushkartum krishna chaitanya nama avir bhutas tasya padara vinde gadam gadam liyatam chitta bringa. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service rendered to himself. this system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. These two verses, composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, will always declare his fame as loudly as a pounding drum, for they've become pearl necklaces around the necks of all the devotees. He became an unalloyed devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't know anything but the service of the Lord. He always chanted the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, son of Mother Shachi, and reservoir of all good qualities. Chanting the holy names became his meditation. Well, this is the transformation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who'd been such a dry logician, but who now had become an ecstatic devotee of Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami ends this chapter by telling of one more incident. Bhattacharya became quoted a verse to Lord Chaitanya from Srimad Bhagavatam, a prayer by Lord Brahma. Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipaka vidvag vapurvir vidatam namaste vidatam namaste jiveta yo bhakti pade sadayapak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adversity due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. When he recited this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at once pointed out, in that verse, the word is mukti pade. But you've changed it to bhakti pade. What's your intention? Bhakti pade, sadaya bhakti. It's supposed to be mukti pade. You've changed it to bhakti pade. But the charger said, the awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, far surpasses mukti, liberation from material bondage. For those averse to devotional service, merging into the Brahman effulgence is a kind of punishment. So mukti means liberation, bhakti means devotional service. So now, the same Bhattacharya, who'd been promoting mukti as the ultimate goal of life, is denigrating it as being something that's a kind of punishment for those who can't make it to devotional service. The impersonalists who do not accept the transcendental form of Sri Krishna and the demons always engaged in blaspheming and fighting with him are punished by merging into the impersonal effulgence. But that doesn't happen to the person engaged in devotional service to the Lord. There are five kinds of liberation. Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Sarshti, Sayuja means to get the same planet, to live on the same planet as the body, to have the same form as the Lord, to have the same opulence as the Lord, finally to merge with the Lord. If there's a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee sometimes accepts living on the same planet, having the same form, being close to the Lord, having the same opulences, but he never accepts merging, which is generally what mukti is understood to be. A pure devotee doesn't like even to hear about sayuja mukti, merging into the Lord, which inspires him with fear and hatred. A pure devotee would rather go to hell than merge into the effulgence of the Lord. Even though offered all kinds of liberation, the pure devotee doesn't accept them. He's fully satisfied to engage in the service of the Lord. So he's really deprecating mukti. Lord Chaitanya said, the word mukti pade has another meaning, Muktipad directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All kinds of liberation exists under the feet, pad, of the Personality of Godhead, therefore he's known as Muktipad. Or another meaning, Mukti is the ninth subject, and the Lord is the shelter of liberation. This refers to the second canto, where there are different topics, liberation being one of the topics connected with the Lord. Since I can understand Krishna according to these two meanings, what's the point in changing the verse? Sarvabhauma replied, I wasn't able to give that reading to the verse. And although your explanation is correct, it shouldn't be used because there's ambiguity to this word of muktipad. Mukti refers to the five kinds of liberation, but usually the direct meaning is becoming one with the Lord. The very sound of the word mukti at once induces hate and fear. But when we say bhakti, we naturally feel transcendental bliss within the mind. So that's why he's changed muktipad to bhaktipad. Mukti pade to bhakti pade. So Lord Chaitanya said, you shouldn't have done that. But the Lord began to laugh and with great pleasure at once embraced him very firmly. So now this person who had been accustomed to reading and teaching Mayavad philosophy now hated the word mukti, liberation. This was possible by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As long as it doesn't turn iron into gold by its touch, no one can recognize an unknown stone to be a touchstone. But now, upon seeing the transcendental Krishna consciousness of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, everyone could understand that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself. Inhabitants of Jagannath Puri came to surrender to the Lord. And Kaviraj Goswami says, I'll speak later about other topics concerning Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And finally, he gives a blessing. E Mahaprabhu Lila Sarvabhauma Milam, Iha Ye Shratakuri, Kareye Shravan, Jnana Karma Pash Hoite, Hoi Bimocham, Achire Miloye Tare, Chaitana Chora. If one hears with faith and love these pastimes concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one is very soon freed from the net of speculation and fruitive activity and attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jarasha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishna Das. In this way, the author ends the chapter concerning the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Any questions?
Throughout the Leela of Mahaprabhu and his associates, we see the immediate efficacy of people coming into contact with them and the potency and the revelations. Even with Sarvabhauma, we see that very soon he managed. We have been busy in the Western sphere for a long time, and many of us have served for many years. And seemingly, I am speculating, there seems a lack of that efficacy of touching people so that their transformation becomes that complete. Are we doing it right? Are we still progressing? Is there some more that we have to do?
We see, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So he's so electrified that by his touch, other people at once became electrified. But still, we see that when our Krishna consciousness movement is going on, people spontaneously take to devotional service. Sometimes they begin to chant and dance. Sometimes very quickly, they just abandon their materialistic interests and become devotees of Krishna. It's going on. It's going on. Otherwise, how is this movement spreading? Surprisingly, people from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of non-devotional or even degraded kinds of life become chant Hare Krishna and become ecstatic. I was giving an example the other day that We were seeing some, I saw a video from Janmashtami in Tehran where the devotees all gathered. They're all Muslim devotees. They're all from Islamic backgrounds. And in Iran, the ladies don't wear this burqa, you know, black covering. They wear headscarves. Just, you know, that's their way of observing the standards for Islamic conduct. So they, in the video, there's all these men and women, and the women are all wearing headscarves and tilak and jumping up and down and chanting Hare Krishna. So it's wonderful. Who would expect that in the Middle East, in Iran, you know, which is supposed to be like headquarters of, well, the American government would say fundamentalist, fanatical Islam, but anyway, devout Islam. And there are these men and women who are all chanting Hare Krishna and dancing in ecstasy and looking forward to honoring the prasad. The video showed all the prasad that was lined up. So it's wonderful.
In the Sambandha Gyan, the individuals, all of us in the movement, how can we intensify our process so that we become part of that electric current and affect people more deeply?
Well, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked what was the most important thing. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Chant Hare Krishna. That's what does it. The more we chant Hare Krishna, the more everything else follows. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevam. Chanting is so wonderful. Just by chanting, everything happens. Transformation. Purification of heart, transformation of the mind, purification of activities, freedom from material anxiety and distress, and absorption in devotional service to Krishna. All follows from holy name. Yes?
The special request, that question that is raised, the one that was raised by the other. It's like a special request, like intensifying, because last time or first time I saw this association, it was, it's like my place where I stay, you understand? Because there is a field, the open field. It's like this question of mine is like a special request. If there is a schedule of yourself, if it's not tied to your schedule, where I stay, I would love to maybe to chant there, understand?
You'd like to have chanting in the place where you stay?
I think one of the days, maybe one of the Sundays, just to the people of my, where I stay, to have a picture of what is, understand?
Sounds like good, like a good idea.
It was Hare Krishna. Yeah.
You can see if you can arrange with
Well, there are too many fields, rugby field, cricket, and then most of the people they are forced to go there because they spend their times in a soccer field or cricket or rugby. Mm-hmm. So next there, there's a nice also a spare field there, okay, to chant there.
Very happy you chant in any field. Soccer field, cricket field,
rugby
field.
And any field, and hockey.
How do you feel?
Different age groups.
Yeah. Turn them all to Krishna fields. Okay, see if you can arrange with the devotees here. Nice. Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, I was wondering, some of the demigods, they took part in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, like Indra and so now they were pure devotees in this pastime. So did they go back to their post, or did they go back to the spiritual world?
As far as I know, they go back to their posts. But I'd have to think about that, maybe consult and see what's said about that.
So, Maharaj, with regard to Vidura Raj, it was very clearly stated that after
Krishna,
he went back.
He went back to his post.
Haridas Thakura is Lord Brahma. You know, he also, because he was promised by Mahaprabhu previously that he will appear as Haridas Thakur, as the Namacharya, after he had committed the offense of stealing the cows and cowherds. But his position never changed, you know, because they're always interacting with him.
Yeah, sometimes it's described. But these devotees are plenary portions of these particular demigods and so on. It's quite a, gets to be a little technical. But as far as I know, they go back to their posts.
In our scriptures, we spend a huge amount of time explaining Mayavad philosophy because when Srila Prabhupada appeared, Mayavad as a concept in India has a separate identity, whereas in the West, Mayavad or impersonalism is not really a conception. It is there, but you know they don't have the same. Let me say they don't have the same deep understanding.
Yeah, well, as we were discussing yesterday, they're sort of path Mayavadis, superficial Mayavadis, sort of loose Mayavadis. The strict Mayavadis are very austere and very philosophical. Whereas these guys just have some slogans and sort of a superficial understanding, but still they're deeply committed to the idea, the same fundamental idea, that everything is one, that in the ultimate end there's no difference between one thing and another, or that the absolute is sort of an impersonal entity, maybe a force, may the force be with you. So it's not just, Prabhupada knew that this is not just a sort of a esoteric philosophy found among some limited sect in India, but rather it's pervasive. And particularly in the Western countries, it's just the default mode of thinking. People have no clear personal conception of the absolute truth. Even if they believe in God, their God is ultimately, sometimes you see a picture of God in some Christian pamphlet sitting on a throne with no face. Mm. It's sort of this vague conception of God. Philosophically, there's not a clear understanding. There's an anecdote from the early 90s. In the 1960s, when the first devotees joined Srila Prabhupada, among them was one devotee, Hayagriva, who was the editor for some of Srila Prabhupada's books, and was quite a good writer also, professor of English literature. And Prabhupada, of course, was speaking, was lecturing about Mayavadis and how the Mayavadis have misunderstood the teachings of the Vedas and really bashing the Mayavadis. Almost at every opportunity, beating down on Mayavad philosophy. And Hayagriva and the other devotees, they thought that, what is this Mayavadi thing? It sounds like Swamiji has some opponents in India, some sort of group that he's down on. It doesn't seem to have much to do with America. You know, he comes to America and he's still bashing on those people back home that he's got a difference with. And they even used to joke, have you seen a Mayavadi? Seen any Mayavadis around here? I haven't seen a Mayavadi. Have you seen a Mayavadi? As if they were talking about some odd species of French duck or something like that. Something, a dodo bird, which is not French, of course, but there's some rare species. Have you seen a Mayavadi? Yeah, I haven't seen a Mayavadi. But gradually it dawned on them that they were the Mayavadis. Because they were thinking of the Supreme in terms of its being an impersonal, abstract entity rather than the personality of Godhead, Krishna. Something else? Yes.
something comes up in my mind, and it's like an imagination question.
Yeah.
You know, for practical, practical purposes, like in my place, like there's an old man there. You see, who's hating their cows. You see. So to my imagine, my question is to my imagination, but you will get the taste. That it's like if what we donate, maybe example like we take 2 rand and okay, big money, 100 rand, 200 rand, so that you can buy a calf, so that the summer you see a calf was gonna grow up, and then we end up getting the milk, so that you don't buy milk, you milk the calf itself. So that father there is an old man. I think it was more than 50 cows. Because for different business people, they buy small like a calf, and then they give that man to look after, and then they get the produce and expand, and then you get my point. And then if maybe you can buy from that old man for that 50 rand, 50 rand, 20 rand, and then, because it's much cheaper when it's younger, and then we get the milk from, not from the shop, from the
calf. Where is this old man?
When it's going to grow up, when it's ready, right? And then you can milk from, can milk from it. Then you don't use to have use mine.
Yeah, that's good. If we can get our own cows, that will be better.
Yeah.
That's better. We have live in sort of an artificial civilization where milk comes from grocery stores in little wax packages. But, and people... practically, they'd be astonished, even children, you know, what is that? They see a cow and they don't even know what it is.
Yeah, and they are treats. Because, you see, let's say these guys, first or second year, who worked, like the newcomers from the job services, if they can put a donation every month, maybe that can balance.
Well, you can speak to the devotees and figure out how to do it. But the idea of having our own cows is very nice. Ideally, the devotees can have their own land, their own cows, their own vegetables, their own fruits. Because Krishna arranges that the land is... From the land you get everything. You don't need an artificial way of life where food is shipped in from 1,000 miles away. Even here on our property, I see that there's a little bit of land that can be used. Like behind the kitchen, there's a lot of land where weeds are growing. If somebody has a green thumb, as they say, you could grow all sorts of things there, vegetables or flowers and so on. And even a little bit of land that we have, we can use productively. And maybe Krishna will give us some more.
What's the issue of Sankaracharya? He appeared because many demons had assimilated the Vaishnava philosophy and were using it for their own materialistic purposes in terms of Brahmanas. You know the whole statement?
I didn't see that.
And so the Brahmanas take the birth?
That's a different thing. But Shankaracharya takes his birth as a Brahmin to present a misleading philosophy. That's, I don't know that the two are connected.
And there's one place where I specifically read that many atheistic people, seeing the success of the Vaishnavas, were assimilating the Vaishnava philosophy and using it for their own materialistic purposes.
So
part of Sankaracharya's advent was to create this atheistic thing so that they could actually leave the devotees alone.
Is that said somewhere?
It is said somewhere.
I haven't seen it.
I just can't remember now where, but you know. So the demons that take the birth as Brahmanas sometimes, some of them are made out.
Yeah, demons can take their birth as anything.
Can some of them take their birth in this movement?
Sneak in. We'll keep an eye out, okay? Yes.
From your experience, what I've seen a lot of the time is, especially the young people, today, they're very disgruntled with religion in general. They don't want anything to do with Christianity, with anything. It doesn't matter, you know. They see the examples of people around them, and they just want to reject religion. And a lot of the time, I've seen them turning to New Age ideas and philosophies, and you know.
And then they get disgruntled with that.
Yeah.
Too.
And how can we, as young people, in this movement that's spreading the holy names of God, how can we actually help young people to sort of like get rid of that rebellion? And you know, because ultimately, I assume what
we have to take advantage of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna consciousness movement is not meant for tons of rituals and pious acts meant for social welfare and material advancement. It's a simple process in which the foremost thing is this transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna. The more we keep Hare Krishna up front, the transcendental vibration will act. It's beyond mundane rituals, it's beyond pious teachings. It comes directly from the spiritual platform. And anyone, no matter how disgruntled or disgusted or disillusioned, who comes in touch with the chanting of Hare Krishna can see, hear something directly spiritual, transcendental, direct transcendental experiences available through the holy name of Krishna. For those who are more philosophical, we have books, lots and lots of books. Through our books, through kirtan, and through prasada, which also transcends all mundane considerations. Our movement will spread.
To second on what you said,
kirtan is powerful. It says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama.
They may not know what it is, they may not be able to figure it out, they may laugh at it, they may walk on the other side of the street, but it'll get in their ears and act. Yeah.
Amit Nath Maharaj, could you please speak more about the benefits of congregational chanting?
Well, that's a big topic, now you're asking for... we can go another hour on that. But the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, that one becomes Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm.
That's, in short, all the benefits that you can get from Krishna's association. You can get from all of Krishna.
Maybe more in terms of how we're trying to spread the Sankirtan movement, how that can be done through the chanting specifically.
Chant, 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 and chant. This Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just chant it. Prabhupada one time, in the very beginning, before devotees knew how to play the instruments, and devotees were going out and chanting, and Brahmananda, who was the president in New York, wrote that we really don't have a proper mridanga player. Prabhupada said, you can be the mridanga player. He said, just bang it. So just chant it. It will work. Yes.
I'm not as sure if it's allowed or try to second what they said now. These two. If maybe we'll try maybe sort of a competition, this sect like Christian, like you young, for people of young people, like primary school, maybe one another schools. Visit one another, show them that this is our.
Yeah, we can visit schools, we can visit universities.
Instead of like in a big audience or in a small.
Big,
audience.
Small, one person, 100 people, 1,000 people.
I get understanding from the small ones because
there are
tens because it's a.
There's no limit. We can go to old folks' homes, chant Hare Krishna, we can go to kindergartens, Chanhari Krishna, we can go to the soccer field, the hockey field, the
schools,
every place. Just drown the world in Hare Krishna. Such a nice thing. And for those who want more philosophy, we're not unprepared. All right, shall we end here? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Vrindavanande. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, thank you. Oh, Hare Krishna. Nice to meet you.
My name is Priya.